Hey, it's April 13th, and this is Beginner's Puck, a hockey podcast for hockey fans both new and old. So, Erica, as we're recording this, it is the day one. It is the first day of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, I'm vicariously living through you, because it is not the case here. In the Philadelphia suburbs, but you were living in playoff town right now.
Oh my God.
So come on, like, give the rest of us, the rest of us who didn't get an invitation to the dance, what is it like?
Oh, it is. When I moved here, Stephen, my spouse, told me, he was saying, I really hope the Oilers make it to the playoffs someday when you live here, because the town just changes. It just feels different. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Okay, that would be nice. But no, he's right. It is. There is such energy. I mean, at work, at a meeting earlier this week, somebody just said, oh, and by the way, because it's business casual. Oh, and by the way, everybody is welcome to wear Oilers gear on Wednesday. Wear your jersey, wear whatever you want. And then, you know, they said, or Calgary, if you want. There's one guy at the end of the table who was like, yeah. And yeah, so today, Oilers jerseys and hats, and I was wearing my Oilers ugly Christmas sweater, and I got so many compliments on that thing. People I didn't know from other departments and other buildings that just happened to be around were like stopping to say hi and talk about the Oilers with me just randomly. It was amazing. Yeah.
Aww, it's pretty great. That's so cute. You know, it's funny. I was listening to the tail end, and I don't know who it was. I didn't catch their name because it was the tail end of a conversation on the NHL Sirius channel this afternoon. And I think the person they were talking to is announcing the game, one of the announcers, I don't know for which network or which venue or whatever, but he was talking about he had a really prime spot. So I'm thinking that he's, you know, he's got some connections. And he said the same thing about just the energy level in Edmonton is through the roof. He said, you know, it's not going to take much for this whole place just to like spontaneously combust because he's just never seen anything like it. It's crazy. So that sense of, and even as we talked a little bit early before recording, you know, every time I'm on our Beginner's Puck Twitter feed, which is just a beautiful place to be these days because of all the lovely vids and excitement, there's something orange being given away someplace for free somewhere in Edmonton. You know, you could, you know, towels and stickers and t-shirts and I don't know, just so much swag.
It's so weird. And I think it was just yesterday they announced that Rogers Place is selling $80 tickets. They have a limited number that get you access to the upper and main concourses, but no seat, no view of the ice. But if you want to just be in the building when the game is happening, you can shell out $80 Canadian to just be there. Just be in the room, like, you know, have access to overpriced snacks and things like that, and, you know, $12.50 beers. And
you don't get to sit. You just get to stand for a couple hours.
Yeah. And I mean, Rogers Place does have, I think, 1,250 screens, like flat screen TVs scattered throughout the building. So, you know, it's not like you're not going to be able to watch the game if you're just standing around in the concourse. There's going to be a television somewhere that you can watch what's happening on. But yeah, you're not going to see the ice. You're not going to see the players. But you'd be surrounded by a bunch of people that are really
breathing
excited.
Playoff air.
Yeah.
It's basically it for $80.
Which, I mean, I was never going to do that. But they're also selling $5 tickets to just come to Rogers Place and sit in the stands during away games and watch them on the big screen. And I am totally doing that because that will be amazing.
That would be amazing. Just to have that experience of being around other fans during that time.
Exactly.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Thanks, Deb.
That's not happening here. The most exciting hockey thing happening in my area is Jeff Merrick answered my question on his Reddit AMA.
That's pretty good, too.
Well, you know, hey, it's not a playoff berth, let's face it, but no. And Jeff is one of my sort of favorite hockey commentators because he is super hockey nerdy. I mean, just like deep history stuff, but he doesn't take himself really seriously, which I appreciate because there's some hockey, particularly former players, that are just, They do that thing of spouting opinion as fact, which kind of is such a guy thing to do anyway when it comes to sports radio. But, you know, you always kind of get the sense with Jeff that he just is not even taking himself seriously. So I really enjoy his smartness plus his demeanor. Mm-hmm. But the question I asked, thinking about our podcast, was he had said something really smart that caught my attention on an episode of Mara Wyszynski about the responsibility of hockey announcers, and particularly in the new market with the expansion draft or the expansion team, Vegas Golden Knights, that hockey announcer is going to have a double duty of not only calling the game, but doing it in a way that's going to welcome a bunch of new fans and not alienate them in a non-traditional market. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, I said, well, you know, that was a really good, so I recounted him saying that. And I said, well, what do you suggest for people who are new to hockey to do, to prepare themselves? If they're looking at this team specifically, or just, you know, they're getting excited by the playoffs, or the women's national team has sort of brought hockey into the forefront for a lot of people, what would you suggest? And he said, first of all, I said, wow, it was a really great question, which, you know.
Aww.
I know.
That's pretty cool, though.
I felt so validated. Mm-hmm. But he said, just watch a lot of hockey, ask a lot of questions, and, you know, don't be afraid to take the time to understand the game, which I thought, you know, and that's basically kind of what we're doing here.
Exactly.
For our podcast. We're asking a lot of questions and being asked a lot of questions that we are then finding out the answers to and passing them along.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, ask a lot of questions. Ask a lot of questions of us. Find us on Twitter. Send us an
email.
Really?
Because we're super friendly about that. Because there, you know, something, there's lots of places that aren't. If you're a new hockey fan, particularly if, God, I hate to say this, but if you're a girl fan, there might be tests. I ran across one on Tumblr a while back. Do you remember us talking about this? Where somebody said, boy, I really like hockey. And this girl was recounting this story that she was talking to some people. She was a college age student. And she said, you know, I really like hockey. And he says, oh, I bet you're just in it for the cute guys. Can you name a player on each of the 30 teams? And it's like,
right.
You know, that kind of gatekeeping crap is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And first of all, like, why? What?
Why? Yeah. What a dumb question, too.
That's such a dumb thing.
Why
would
I need to know?
We all totally did this on Slack, right? We all said, oh, can we do this?
Yeah. I can't.
I could. I think I got almost two players on each team, but that's just because I read everything about hockey. But anyway, so there's lots of, you know, if you run into any of that kind of stuff, heck with them. Come to us. If we don't know, we will find out.
We are here for you.
Exactly. So, besides that, there was lots of other stuff. Besides the playoffs, which obviously is the big thing that everybody is focusing on in hockey, there was a lot of, it's sort of like the French Revolution, the guillotine has been rolled out. All those teams.
I get it now.
That did not make the playoffs. Nobody's resting easy here.
Yes.
So lots of heads rolled this week. So how many hirings, shiftings, firings did you hear about?
Oh, geez.
I've lost
count, honestly, because I wasn't taking notes and listing them. I just kind of kept going, you know, left, right, left, right. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, that one's not surprising. Like, so I was just hearing it all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I know that this is a thing that happens, you know, especially if a team has not made the playoffs for a bunch of years or has done poorly consistently, the changes need to be made in order to get that team to where ownership wants it to be. So I know that there are a lot of shifts. I don't seem to remember it being quite so vicious and widespread in previous years. I don't know if I'm imagining that because I'm paying more attention to hockey this year even than last year or what. But yeah, lay it on me, Deb. I want to hear the list.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of things that happened midseason. So Gerard Gallant was ditched on an away game. And he was the coach of the Florida Panthers. Which,
that's right. I forgot. They canned him when he was out of town and they didn't even give him a flight back or something.
Yeah, it was like, well, no, I think that there were some sad pictures of him trying to flag a cab down holding all his belongings. They did actually call a car. Just the optics of the picture looked really bad. And of course, you know, Claude Julien being fired from the Boston Bruins midseason and then immediately being hired by the Montreal Canadiens who fired their coach.
Yes.
So when everybody talks about you know, we need a coach. Like, there's this pool of coaches that just kind of like, okay, where's he going to go next? And they kind of shuffle around, it seems. Mm-hmm. It's like musical chairs. But this week, you know, after the end of the season, which was Sunday, let's see, Lindy Ruff from the Dallas Stars, his contract not renewed. That was not a shocker because his contract was up and that team just nosedived and went from first in its division to like, let's see. The Canucks, Vancouver Canucks, fired their coach, Derjan.
That's right.
As one of only two Canadian teams not making the playoffs this year, that wasn't a big surprise either. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know that you could blame coaching on all of their problems, but...
No, but that is an easy sort of thing to change for ownership because it does have a big impact on the team. Like, obviously, coaching is going to make a big difference. Also, it's a very high profile thing to change. So you can, you know, go to the fans and say, see, we're working on it. We're doing something. So, right. I mean, it's kind of the first easy thing to do. And it's not always the only thing that needs to be done, but it usually is going to be something that it's high on the list.
Yeah. So, and the LA Kings had like a complete bloodletting. So they fired their coach and their general manager. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Sutter and Lombardi are out. We went to an LA Kings game and I just remember seeing Daryl Sutter's son like dancing. Like that was kind of like his thing. I thought, oh, you know, that's like, I kind of felt bad for him because he'd been a coach for a while and, you know, obviously had a relationship there. Lombardi, I was not a fan of. There was all sorts of issues with him and players and domestic violence and just fudging the rules. And of course, he was GM for Team USA last year. And it was the grit team, right? That was built to beat Canada rather than let's putting our best team out there.
Yep.
I felt bad for Sutter. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know that team that well. And it's just sort of the things that I have been reading in news things. So I don't know. I could be a little off base, but just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
I can't say I was terribly surprised. I mean, Sutter has he's coached a few different NHL teams, and he, from what I understand, he sort of has a bit of an expiration date when it comes to his style of coaching. He's a yelly guy. Like he tends to yell at the team, and that can work for a while to sort of motivate people, but after a certain amount of time, you kind of end up, I think, developing a bit of a thick skin when it comes to the same person yelling at you over and over again, and that stops being a motivating factor. And that has happened to him in multiple places. So, but it's not like he doesn't have any skills, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him land someplace else and take over another team and, you know, have kind of a fresh start and be more effective as a coach in the new spot. So, you know, maybe you'll see his son dancing in a different rink one of these days. I hope so, because I personally just quite enjoy watching interviews with him after the games, because he is ridiculous. He has this completely like straight-faced sort of thing, and he just, it's not like he's not suffering fools. It's more like he just doesn't really care and will tell you exactly what he thinks, and just totally straight-faced deadpan. It doesn't even strike me as a dry sense of humor. It's just like him just not pulling any punches, and he won't answer a question. If he thinks it's dumb, he'll just stand there and look at you. He is entertaining to watch post game. So if he does end up someplace else in the near future, I recommend checking out some post game interviews, or even just going back on YouTube. I'm sure you can find some of the Kings over the past several years.
Yeah, probably. The other thing that was interesting, the Florida Panthers that we mentioned with Gerard Gallant being fired earlier, they actually put in their former GM, their GM became their coach. Tom Rowe became their coach. Well, they announced that Tom Rowe was out. He was not going to be the coach anymore. He was also not going to be the GM anymore. He's like going to be assistant to the, I don't know, president of hockey operations or something. Like, he's still with the organization, but he's not doing that. So Florida Panthers now have an opening. Of course, the Vegas Golden Knights haven't announced their coach yet. So you have all these open positions. Although, according to reliable sources, Hitchcock, the former coach for the St. Louis Blues, has been hired by Dallas Stars.
Yes,
they,
I've
they
heard
did
that
announce
too.
A press. The Dallas Stars have not announced this, but like Bob McKenzie from TSN has said, you know,
hey, once, if Bob says it,
right? Once Bob says it, like it's gospel.
Yep. So, here.
But they are having a press conference tomorrow, which I'm sure they're going to announce it. But I did see something. Now, Hitchcock, from what I understand, is a yelly coach, too, mm-hmm. which is kind of different from Lindy Ruff's style. But maybe that's what they need, is a kick in the butt. But he had stepped down. He announced his retirement from St. Louis Blues. And he actually sort of, they cut that off early and put his assistant coach in, who was going to be his predecessor anyway. I'm sorry, he's going to be a successor. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So get this printed wrong. Who's going to be a successor. So they kind of cut him loose, put the successor in, which I can't remember his name right now, excuse me, because I don't have all of these things memorized. And so he was kind of, it's like, oh, okay, he's retiring early. So from what I was reading something, he has like a one-year contract with Dallas Stars, and then the option to stay on as a consultant, whatever that's supposed to mean. Now, of course, nothing has been finalized, but again, all this stuff is kind of coming from people in the know. So there's, I think mm-hmm. there's a little bit, at least a little bit of truth to some of these things. So, yeah, so the shift is starting. You know, who's going to land where? Because now there's lots of positions open and there's lots of coaches floating around.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see what happens. Other big announcements this week. The World Championships, International Ice Hockey Federation World Championships, which I think are in Paris this year, are starting to announce their staffing. So Jeff Blashill, who's the coach for Detroit Red Wings, was announced as the coach for Team USA. Mm-hmm. Ron Hextall of the Philadelphia Flyers is the GM for Team Canada, and he announced that Tampa Bay Lightning's coach John Cooper is going to be the head coach for that team, and mm-hmm. Gerard Gallant, who we've talked about a lot tonight for some reason, is an assistant coach along with Dave Hextall from the Flyers, and Dave King, who is of lots of stuff.
Yes. He was in the NHL in the 90s and 2000s and has been around the KHL, that's a Russian hockey league, and many other international teams. So there's some clout there.
And the Worlds are, they're in May. So this is kind of interesting because you have to be invited to this, to play, to be on the team. And it's kind of one of those competitions. Obviously, if you're an NHL player and you're in the Stanley Cup, you're not playing for Worlds. So it's all the players that didn't make it. Their teams did, and that's not saying if your team didn't make the Stanley Cup, you still have some amazing elite players out there who just happen to be on a crappy team. So yep. you're still, you know, getting some quality NHL players.
Yeah, we used to actually in Edmonton, I mean, just sort of think of the Worlds as like our playoffs, because we would usually have a player or two or three going to Worlds. So that was a thing that we could pay attention to instead of the playoffs, because meh, playoffs. But yeah.
You know, I was reading a really interesting article, and I can't remember what year it was that Canada lost, because nobody was really taking this seriously. Nobody taking the competition seriously. And I guess whatever the governing body of hockey mm-hmm. in Canada got really peeved and
oh, yeah.
sort of had took like all its players to task and said, you're going to take this seriously. And now they field an amazing team every year.
Uh-huh. There was a meeting. There was like this big meeting, like, you know, hockey... Hockey is our thing and we're not doing it right. So gosh darn it. Yeah, Canada is very serious about its hockey.
The USA, not so much. There has been a little bit of a push for USA players to take it more seriously. And the same article was like, we got to do what Canada did so we mm-hmm. can get some people there. And I think they were quoting like TJ Oshie has been personally beating the bushes trying to get people to go.
Jeez.
So, but it's interesting because there's all these, you know, I'm reading like all the players of the teams that didn't make it, like, oh, well, this one's going to play for Team France and this one's going to play for Team Finland and this was invited for Team Russia. So it's another chance to see all your favorite players maybe playing for mm-hmm. another team. So that's in May. So I think we'll definitely be having some conversation about that, depending on like what our brackets look like.
Yeah, that's true.
It may be like the consoling thing for us. Speaking of brackets.
Mm-hmm. First of all, explain what a bracket is to anybody who is new.
That's a good thing. That's a very good question. All right. So a bracket is basically, it's like a chart.
We love charts.
If you think I'm, if you think I'm fumbling this here, so it's basically a chart that has all that's charted out all of your playoff teams from the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. So one side is Western, one side is Eastern, and it has all the teams that are playing each other, kind of stacked up, and there's little lines connecting them, mm-hmm. and then whichever team wins from those. It goes on to the next bracket and plays the winner of the other teams, mm-hmm. the other competition. So, and this, it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller until you're down to the final two teams. So the, oh gosh, you know, the Sweet 16, the NCAA mm-hmm. basketball is always known for, like, they do big bracket things all the time. So if you hear somebody say, like, when Villanova lost this year, who was the number one seed, to win the NCAA championship, they, like, won out in round one. And people say, oh my gosh, my bracket's been broken. That means you're just not, you can't win this comp, this fake mm-hmm. competition that you have yep. in your head of being able to pick all of the winners of all the of the 16 teams to get into the Stanley mm-hmm. Cup.
Yeah, we even have a competition at work, you know, people.
Do you really?
Yeah, yep. Everybody, everybody that wanted to, yep, filled out a bracket. So I did that for work. You know, it's team building, right? Yeah.
I know the NHL did one, which I did one on the NHL site. And it's actually, I think you win something if you get a perfect bracket. And a perfect mm-hmm. bracket just means you picked everything accurately and
right.
you know, you picked all the winners.
You guessed who was going to win.
But there was still some uncertainty as of Saturday night, like the day before the end of the season, who was going to get that final bracket slot.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was really, you know, like if the Maple Leafs had lost, there was still a chance for Tampa to get in. I think that's how it worked. I was so tense that whole day because I really, really, really wanted Toronto to get in just because I've just enjoyed that team so much. They just don't know enough to know they're not supposed to be where they are.
That's a good way to put it.
And they just delight me. So I was actually at a Philadelphia Union game driving home.
Is that soccer?
That is soccer. That's okay. A whole nother sport. I have a season's tickets to the MLS team. And I was driving home with my friend because I only watch sports with girlfriends because I can't do it with my husband. Mm-hmm. So she and I have season's tickets. So we're driving home and I have NHL Sirius subscription. We got a new car. Came with a trial subscription. I love it. It's going to kill me when I have to either pay like $1 billion to keep it or give it up. So the NHL has, you know, the main channel, plus they have a bunch of little sub channels. So they usually have all of the games on. They're usually calling all the games mm-hmm. on the radio. And I told her, I said, I just have to listen to the end of the the Penguins Toronto game because mm-hmm. if Tampa wins, I keep saying Tampa, it's Toronto, it's a T name. If Toronto wins, like, they're in the playoffs, and I really, really want that to happen. It's like the last 15 minutes of that game was insane. First of all, and I think I've mentioned this to you, radio game. Do you listen to any games on the radio ever?
Sometimes, yes. But the way that the Oilers guy throws it to commercial bothers me so much that I sometimes don't.
Yeah, it's a very personal experience, right? And they tend to be a little bit more over the top than a TV announcer. Well, first mm-hmm. of all, they have to do so much.
Yes.
They have to paint a visual. They have to explain to you what's happening on the ice so you understand. And they just get so caught up in the game, like as the games gets closer or their team, because, you know, every team has mm-hmm. their own sets of announcers, as their team, you know, is going for a goal or hitting a shot, like their voice gets really pitched and they're just, mm-hmm. I swear to God, I almost wrecked the car. She and I were clutching each other's hands as we're like driving down the highway because the last 10 minutes of that game was bonkers with the shots on goal and getting the score and Austin Matthews getting the empty netter. I mean, it was, you know, it was crazy. So it just delights me that it took that long to finally seal that, to finally close the bracket and get mm-hmm. all of those teams in. There were some tight races this year.
Yep. yeah, it was interesting. And then even in categories or in divisions where, you know, we knew who was going to make it, the determination for what the order was going to be based on which team had more points than the others, right. That was also coming down to, we didn't know for quite a long time who we were going to be playing in the first round.
Well, why don't you explain how that ordering worked, depending on where you were in the standings?
It's a hard thing to do sort of without looking at it, at least for me, since I'm such a visual person. But as you may recall from us talking about it before, each conference, there's a West Conference and an Eastern Conference. Each conference has two divisions within it. And the way that it works is each division has the top three teams will be going to the playoffs. And then the conference has two wildcard positions. And the way that it is determined is that whichever team in the Western Conference has the highest number of points, like the most points, they get to play the wild card team that has the least number of points.
Doesn't seem fair.
Well, that is just the way that they do it. People complain about the way that the playoffs are set up, and it's only been the way it is now for, I can't remember exactly how many years. It's changed a number of times, and before it changed to this, it changed to this because people were complaining about the previous way, and it changed to that previous way because people complained about the way before that. The playoff setup is just going to continue to change and continue to have people complain about it forever. That's just the way it works. So the highest rated team plays the lowest rated team. And then the second and third place teams in each of the divisions play each other. And then the first place team of the other division plays the other wild card team. So that's how that works. And then second place and third place play each other in each division. Yeah. So
it's confusing. And it was critically important, especially in the Eastern Conference, like where you landed in that, because the top three teams in the entire, the top three teams in the entire NHL are in the Eastern Conference in the Metropolitan League. So you were hoping that you got first, because then you knew at least your first round was going to be fairly simple, or not fairly simple, but it was better than playing some of the other teams, which are a little closer. So
that division
as
was
a result,
stacked.
As a result, the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing the Washington Capitals, who have just been a force of nature this year. So it was really interesting because it got me thinking about announcers. And then we got an email from one of our listeners, Josh, talking about the importance of announcers to him and what we thought about that and how announcers made us appreciate the game or learn more about the game. And he is visually impaired, so announcers are critically important to him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it really hit home, because when I first started watching hockey seriously, like the announcers were the ones who were explaining to me what I was seeing, because the game moves incredibly quickly, and it can be really intimidating trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening. So if you have a really good announcer, that just it heightens the experience, and it makes you feel like you know what's going on. You're not a complete idiot watching all these people chasing a puck around the ice. It just looks, I don't know, like the ice capades on crack or something. It doesn't make any sense. And there have been, so I have an NHL subscription. So when I'm watching a game on my laptop or my iPad or whatever, however I'm watching one of the games, it gives you an option of what feed that you want. Do you want the home feed or do you want the away feed? And which feed I watch will depend on the announcers, to be perfectly honest. There's times I say, I really want to watch the home feed for this because I think the energy level is going to be higher. But the announcers have been like so flat that I'm like, no, I'm going to switch over and see how the other feed is. Because I like my announcers to have a little bit of pep, a little bit of energy, right? Do you have any favorite announcers for any teams?
I wouldn't say that I have specific favorite announcers, but I will always choose the Canadian feed over the U.S. feed. Because I'm sort of used to the way Canadian hockey announcers talk. I was forced to listen to some US ones and found it just obnoxious. And I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying about radio announcers, how they get really into it. And I like when announcers get really into it when it's genuine. But I think it feels to me that some of it, in especially in a few cases in games in the States that I've listened to, that it's a little bit more of a put on. Like, this is my job to be a broadcaster, so I'm talking like this, which to me just sounds like morning zoo and kind of fakey. And it just it just bothers me. Like, I'm expecting some, you know, honking and bells and whistles sound effects in between. And that is not for me. So I do appreciate when announcers are not totally flat, because yes, I agree that can be kind of boring. But except with the exception of the Toronto announcers, I will always choose Canadian announcers. But Toronto announcers are so apologetic for their team and just complete homers that I cannot stand listening to them.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't say I have. Well, I will always listen to Razor on the Dallas Stars.
Okay, here. I will give you that too. Yep.
He's a former color commentator. So typically you have two commentators, right? You have the mm-hmm. announcer, and then you have the color commentator.
Yep.
And without having to do any research on this, I'm just going to say, like, the announcer is the person calling the game, what's happening, and the color commentator is the guy giving the anecdotes or giving you mm-hmm. sort of the, well, this player did this at this yeah. point, and just, you know, all those yeah. little tidbits when the game slows
guy
down.
Or girl in some cases.
Hockey I night did in listen Canada. To New Jersey Devils.
Uh-huh. Hockey Night in Canada often has a female color commentator.
Heard one female color commentary in all the hockey games that I've listened to, and that mm-hmm. was the New Jersey Devils. You're right. Wow. And it caught me off guard. I'm like, I'm just not used to hearing female voices call hockey. It was great. I ended up listening to it. It was on the mm-hmm. radio, so I don't know if it's a broadcast or just a radio. But Razor used to be a goalie. He was a former player. He used to be a color commentary. And then the Daryl Strader, who was the Dallas Stars announcer, left for cancer. He has cancer, and he's being treated for cancer. So he stepped away. Daryl Razor went into the announcer spot, and they brought somebody else in for color, but he cannot not be colorful. He says the yes. most ridiculous things that just are so delightful. Like, what did he say? It was a succulent saucer pass.
Yes, that's my favorite
razorisms
line ever.
Mm-hmm. Which are hysterical. So yeah. So, but I do agree. And Josh's email has me thinking more about announcers, of who I like and who I don't like. And I normally, you know, it's one of those things that if it's done well, you don't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And if it's not done well, it's all you can notice. So, but I do think I'm going to start paying attention more to those that I do like, so I can make note of that, and I'll know of who does it particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear from our listeners if they have favorite announcers or favorite commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's, I know for me, it was critical in the early stages of my hockey fandom. Oh, so, all right, so brackets.
Yes, brackets.
We have to lay out our picks. Obviously, you're going to? Oilers all the way, right?
Well, no.
No.
I mean, do I want the Oilers to win? Yeah, absolutely. There's the bracket of my heart, which is very different from the bracket that I've actually laid out in, you know, what I think reality is going to be. Reality is not always happy, I'm sorry to say.
All right, so how far do you have the Oilers going?
I have the Oilers making it not quite to the final, like final round before the final. So,
yeah, I have them at the conference final level.
Yep.
I took them out to the conference finals. And who do you have them playing against in the conference finals?
Chicago.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that we're terribly alone in that. I mean, a lot of people, certainly in Edmonton, I was talking to other people at work who had had the same thing going on theirs.
Yeah, so I have in the Western Conference, mm-hmm. you know, I've got Chicago and Nashville. I think Chicago's definitely going to take that one. And I
yep,
think the Blues are going to take Minnesota. You know, Minnesota's just been so flat lately.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of this is, I didn't do a ton of research on the Western Conference. It's just sort of general knowledge of reading NHL mm-hmm. Network or NHL website every day.
Yeah. See, I said Minnesota. I think that they are going to surprise people. Actually, it's
really?
Less that. I feel like, I don't know, I just have a feeling that St. Louis is more going to collapse then Minnesota is going to necessarily step up. That's sort of my...
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
Total gut feeling. I'm not basing this on anything like legit.
Yeah. So who do you have... how about the Ducks in Calgary? Who do you have taking that one?
Anaheim. I will be rooting for Calgary because I really don't like the Ducks, but I think Anaheim, their style of play may be boring to watch, but I think it's effective.
So boring. Oh my gosh. It is so dull.
It's very defensive and very like bashy. Let's run into people. That's not my kind of hockey.
No, I don't care. Yeah, I have the same thing going on. And then just Oilers, come on. If nothing else, beat Anaheim. Beat the Ducks.
Yes.
If you don't go any, that would be like, I just don't want to see them win. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and then of course it comes down to Chicago and Oilers, and you've got Chicago taking that one.
Yeah. I'm afraid so. They have so much more experience in the playoffs, and everybody's going to be tired by that time. And I would love for the Oilers to win, and I will be rooting for them. And, you know, I think they'll pull it out to 6 or 7 games, but I don't think they're going to beat Chicago, sadly.
Well, this is my first playoff experience, to be perfect, where I'm really paying close attention. So, but from what I have been reading, and not just about this season, but even going back and reading hockey books and hockey history and things, like, the playoffs are such a grind that playoff experience really means a lot. Not just for, I know I've been here before, I can keep my enthusiasm, you know, level at an even keel. I'm not going to get too excited. You know what I mean? It's not the mental game, but it's how to pace yourself physically.
Yep.
That if you've been there before, you know what to expect. And I think that does mean something. Like, you don't get disheartened because your body is starting to feel really broken and beaten down because you've been through this before. You know that that is normal. So I think sort of some of that is really going to come into play when it comes to the game. So, all right. So let's talk Eastern Conference. Okay. First round, we've got Montreal and New York.
I think that it's going to be Montreal.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't think the Rangers have it in them.
I would like to see Montreal win only because Jordy Benn of my beloved Dallas Stars is playing.
Right.
And I would like to see him go a little further because he's been, you know, he's been on a team that's just really struggled. And he's been doing all sorts of cute videos up there. And I just, they like Jordy. That's so sweet. It makes me happy. That's a heart pick.
And for me, it's a heart pick as well, because Carey Price, their goalie, is one of my favorite players in the entire NHL. I love him like pie, and he is the best goalie in the NHL. And I say that with much love in my heart for my Oilers' Cam Talbot, but Carey Price is an amazing goalie, and I just think that he deserves a Stanley Cup, or at least a really good run at it. At this point
in his
career.
He's a puck mage. He's like, he does things that, like, how? How did you stop that? I don't even know.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's the little wizardry there. All right, so Boston and Ottawa.
As much as I would like Ottawa to take that one, I think Boston's gonna pull that one out.
Same. I have Boston. So we are in sync here so far.
Yeah,
we did
really
not collude
are.
Ahead of time.
No, not at all.
Confer, and I deliberately did not post my bracket online anywhere because I wanted to talk about it first before we did that. So this is new to you.
This is interesting.
Right. Yeah, so we've got Washington and Toronto. Those poor children.
Yeah, as adorbs as Toronto is, yeah, I think Washington will have this for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to give them a little bit of fight just because, like I said, I don't think they know enough that they don't know they're not supposed to be where they are.
And like you said, it is the first round and they do have all that like boyish enthusiasm working for them. So they will put up a fight, but I don't think they will crack it.
Yeah. I think that is definitely a team that their cutting experience is going to and physical style of play is going to come into effect.
Yep.
All right, so Penguins and the Blue Jackets. I really struggled with this one. I struggled really hard with this one.
I did a little bit too, but I think Pittsburgh is going to pull it out. again, like this, the experience, not they have the experience playing all of the games last season. And I mean, they're a team coming in on the heels of having won the Stanley Cup. And that, I think that mindset is going to go a long way to just keep them afloat.
Well, you know, there was that. And then I thought they have been playing on three tires all season and winning because they've had so many injuries to core players, I mean, who have been knocked out. And they just, it's like they can throw anybody in those lines and they're still pulling out amazing wins. So I think their depth is going to help them. I think if nothing else, I just don't know whether just the beating that they took physically, you know, it's the only thing I kind of question. But every time they threw somebody in there, it's like they did amazingly well. So I don't know what's going. I don't know what's in the water in Pittsburgh, but they're doing it. So, yeah, I did take Pittsburgh for that one, too, which brings us to a repeat of the great epic Washington Pittsburgh playoff. They were in the conference finals last year, so it brings them back again. Who do you have taking that?
I have Pittsburgh.
Do you? See, I took Washington.
Yeah, I had a feeling this was going to be where we were going to split. Yeah. And it, for me, it's more historical thing. Washington, the Capitals, just they have a history of collapsing in the playoffs. They are not as good in the playoffs as they are in the regular season. They have a tendency to just burn through everybody else and be amazing in the regular season. And the playoffs are a different beast. And some teams just can't necessarily get over that. I know a lot of people are saying this is it. This is the year they're going to do it. But people have been saying that for a lot of years. So I don't think this is the year. I think it's going to be Pittsburgh.
No, I'm going to disagree with you. I just think they're so hungry for it. And they brought Shattenkirk in as a rental.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that they're willing to do what it takes to win this year. So I think it's going to go seven games. Like, I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to go seven games, but I think the hunger of Washington is a little bit greater.
See, I have Pittsburgh in six, but we'll see. The thing is, honestly, if I was picking with my heart, I would pick Washington because I think at that point, if those are the two teams, I will cheer for Washington. But I just don't think that they'll make it.
All right, so Montreal and Boston.
Montreal. I think Boston is not. They're just not a strong enough team to keep going that much farther at this point.
They barely got in. They barely made it in.
And they squeaked.
I think Montreal has made a lot of changes, both, you know, at the coaching level and at the player level to get this. So I have Montreal taking that as well.
I think their coaching change was kind of at the right time to really sort of spur on an end of the season sort of like, yeah, we can do this. It wasn't so late that things are bubbled toward the end here. Like, they're still not thrown off, but it wasn't so early that they sort of had a chance to get back into a different completely rhythm. So I think that's going to work in their favor.
Right. So, well, I have Washington and Montreal in the conference finals for the Eastern Division, and I've got Washington taking it, going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Who do you have in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, I picked Montreal to win it, and I am going to be, this is probably silly, but I'm going to be bold, and I think Montreal is going to sweep. I don't think Chicago is going to win a single game. That's what I have on my bracket.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's bold.
It is bold. I was feeling a little spicy when I wrote that out. But I do have to say that if it goes the way that you say, and if it is Washington versus Chicago, I will be cheering for Washington. And not just because I'm not cheering for Chicago, but because I 100% agree that Washington is hungry, as you said earlier. Like, they really do want it. And Chicago has had it. So they're not as hungry, really.
They're not as hungry. And let's face it. I mean, Chicago players have struggled a little bit this year. Jonathan Toews has not been as on point.
Yeah, but he's one of the 100 greatest players of all time, Deb.
Oh, I know he is.
I was throwing some shade there for our new listeners.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that another day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I really struggled with who was going to be, as we talked about on the last podcast, who was going to be my Mr. Right Now. And it was a little bit of an internal debate because the Toronto Maple Leafs have wormed their way into my heart this year because they remind me so much of my beloved Team North America, which was my first true hockey love.
Mm-hmm. The team too beautiful to live.
It was the team too beautiful to live. It's true. It is so true. It will never be. I am going to buy like NHL 17 just so I can have Team North America. I'm never going to play. I'm just going to set the team up and it will live there. but they're just not cooked enough. They're like the groomsman at the end of the row who's still in college, who just with great abs, but you just feel kind of icky even checking them out. You know what I mean?
Like they're
just not right yet. You know, you don't want to be that woman doing that. So I'm just gonna set them aside. They'll be there because their window is just opening. And then but I really, really want to see Washington Capitals win, not just because I think they're an amazing team and I'm not being a bandwagon jumper here, but I really want to see Alexander Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom get their Stanley Cup win.
Yeah.
They are two amazing elite players who just have not been able to take that next step. And their window is closing because of age and everything. Mm-hmm. But I just said something that people might not understand, Eric.
You sure did.
Talking about a window.
I think it's time to learn something new about hockey.
It's time for What the Puck, the things that everyone knows, but everyone had to learn sometime.
So, Deb, what the puck is a window?
A window. A window is sort of an interesting time frame in a sporting franchise. This is not just an NHL thing. It is a sports thing.
Yep.
So when you are building a team, any kind of a team, you usually have your core players, you know, the players that you're building this team around. Mm-hmm. And the reason you have these core players has everything to do with money, right?
Yeah.
So in the NHL, as in most sporting leagues, there is a thing called a salary cap. And each team has X amount of dollars to spend on paying their players, on buying their people. Mm-hmm. And this is so you don't have a deep pocket owner coming in and basically buying themselves into a championship. So everybody, there's a level playing field and how much money each team has to spend. And it's something, I don't have the exact figure because I think it's been bumped up this year, but it's like $75 million or something that they can spend each year. Now, that how that team allocates those resources is completely up to you. There's some things that are sort of cast in stone, like an entry-level contract, which we're definitely going to talk about during draft season. There's minimum amounts of money that you have to pay players. But if you have an elite player, a really great player, like an Alexander Ovechkin, you want to lock that down. You want to keep that player on your team for as long as you possibly can. So you will offer him a multi-year contract with lots and lots of money. Mm-hmm. And every year, you know, so if it's a, just throw a number out there, $100 million contract for 10 years, each year, $10 million goes towards your cap, your salary cap. So you only have $65 million to spend on other players. So there's a real art to looking at how you allocate your resources and who you want to keep. And there's all sorts of websites out there. There used to be a really great one called General Fanager, which I loved, but the creator of that site did so well at forecasting the draft for the Vegas Golden Knights, the expansion draft, that Vegas Golden Knights hired him and shut down his site. So now Cap Friendly is my backup. So, wow, way to live the dream. And if you go on Cap Friendly, it shows you, like, from what they know, not all of this information is public, but what they've surmised from records of what the salaries are for each player. So you have players that you're spending a ton of money on, but players only have a sort of a productivity lifespan. Mm-hmm. And it's different for depending on which positions. Like, goalies tend to get better as they get older. forwards tend to, like, they kind of fall off. Their peak production falls off the older they get. And defense is weird. Like, that can go all over the place. Mm-hmm.
That kind of goes back to also what we were talking about before, different types of defenders. You have your more offensive defenders and your stay-at-home yes. defenders. And, you know, depending on which type of player you are, the sort of productivity window is going to be different.
Right. So you're battling a lot of different things. So if you have an elite player that you're paying a lot of money to, and you have him locked into a contract, especially a contract with a no trade clause or a no movement clause, which means even if you're paying him a ton of money and there's somebody else willing to take him on, if they've got a no trade clause, you're kind of like you got him. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yep.
Like, there's some specific conditions upon which you can trade a player if they agree to it, but, you know, that's not always the case. So you're working with the age of a player and their peak productivity, the amount of money that you're paying for these players. So even if their peak productivity is starting to fall, you don't have a whole lot of money to go out and get another elite player mm-hmm. because you're spending so much money on the elite players you already have. So there's this sort of sweet spot where the productivity is at its peak and you've spent enough money on all of your other players to support this. You have a really strong core, or what they like to call depth in their play. Mm-hmm. So you not only have, you know, maybe three elite players on your first line, you also have great players in your second line and your third line and your fourth line. So there's not, for some teams, like they talk about San Jose Sharks, their team is getting a little older.
Yep.
So
they're kind of creaky.
You know, they're getting a little, you know, some of their peak players are in their 30s now, so they're not playing mm-hmm. they're not playing at their highest performance level. So when you look at a team like that, like, their window's starting to close. Mm-hmm. So next year they may still have these players on their books because they're not ready. Their contract hasn't run out yet. They're not an unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent, which is two different kinds of contracts. So, you know, you kind of still have this core, but they're not playing at their best hockey because they've kind of mm-hmm. aged out of that. You don't have enough money to go out and get some great prospects. So you kind of hope maybe the draft will bring some people in. But, you know, those players that are drafted, they need some time to cook as well.
Yep.
It's unusual for a drafted player to jump right into the NHL.
Unless you're drafted by the Edmonton Oilers.
Unless you're drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, like Connor McDavid.
Yes.
Or,
well, I mean, even
drafted
before
by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's true. I mean, even there was always a joke sort of about the Oilers for the past number of years because they were either had so many injuries or were just playing so poorly that they really needed even the new players who weren't actually ready to hit the big time would sometimes just play in the big leagues immediately. Thank heavens that is kind of not the case anymore. At the beginning of the season, we actually did have Jesse Puljujärvi, our newest guy in the NHL, but finally they sent him down to play in the AHL where he can, as you said, cook a little bit more.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a big physical game, and at 18 or 19 years old, like, you're not a man yet. You mm-hmm. know, unless you're Aaron Ekblad, who just, I think, grew fully formed into like a 22-year-old.
Yep.
But, you know, but a lot of these kids, you look at, we talked about Mitch Marner last weekend, like, he mm-hmm. literally looks like he should still be in junior high. Mm-hmm. And even Johnny Gaudreau, who's just a tiny human being,
yep.
I can't even imagine him at 18. He must have, like,
I don't know. I think he probably just looked exactly the same as he does now, and he's just never aged.
Yeah. So it's really unusual to jump right into that level. So, but the Toronto Maple Leafs have three amazing rookies, or four, I don't even know how many mm-hmm. rookies they have. Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, who are just mm-hmm. doing crazy things, crazy good hockey. So you look at that young core, like, that's their, like, one of their first lines, who was mm-hmm. typically your best players. Like, they're that good at 18 and 19. You think, like, they've got years left
yep.
to. So their window is just opening, and it's going to be open for a really long time.
Yeah, well, or things are going to get interesting, because if all of those players keep performing at that same amazing level, Toronto's not going to have the money to keep all of them on their team. They're going to have to spread it around and let somebody go.
Because I think they're all in, what, like, 3-year contracts mm-hmm. or 2-year contracts? I'm not sure. I have to go back and do some research on the entry-level contracts. But yeah, they're going to be making big money. So you have Alexander Ovechkin, who's 31. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Backstrom's 29. You know, they're getting up there for their positions. Their peak performance could be falling. You know, but then again, mm-hmm. there's Jaromir Jagr, who's what, like 45 now?
Something like that. He's that guy is ridiculous. He is still so good. He's basically just throwing off the bell curve for literally everybody else in the entire league.
Exactly. But then you also have contracts that are running out. So in the Caps, like TJ Oshie, because this is last year of his contract, he will be an unrestricted free agent next year, which means they need to throw a bunch of money at him to keep him to stay. Justin Williams will be an unrestricted free agent. Kuznetsov will be a restricted free agent. Let's see, Daniel Winnick will be an unrestricted free agent. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, you have 12 players on their roster whose contracts will be up for negotiation next year.
Wow.
So, like, this is it. This is kind of like do or die mm-hmm. for them. So, and I just, you know, they're good. They deserve it. It's not they deserve it because they have these players I've never won. Like, they put up some amazing points this year. They're number one in the NHL. Mm-hmm. It's not a heart pick skill-wise because they certainly have the chops to bring it back. So that is why the Washington Capitals are, for me, Mr. Right Now. I will be cheering for them hard during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, I hope
I might not be cheering for them hard for the next game because they play Toronto first. Like, I don't want them to hurt. I don't want them to hurt the Maple Leafs.
Your little babies.
I want the kids to get a good playoff experience. So let them go 5 games, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, for your sake, and for their sake, because, you know, I think Washington is a really good team. I'm not a TJ Oshie fan, but everybody else on Washington, he's dirty. But I hope that they make it through their open window before it closes behind them, because that would be a sad thing. But on the other hand, the Oilers' window is just opening, and I would like them to go through it as many times as they can. So that's what I'm really cheering for.
You guys have a good young team there. So.
We do. We do.
And let's face it. Mm-hmm. If Chicago, what is that really funny thing that came out today? The reason why you should cheer against every single team in the playoffs. And the reason you should cheer against Chicago is if they win, they'll never have to play indoors ever again.
Yes, because they get every single outdoor game. Like it's in the NHL, it's a prestigious thing to be chosen to play in one of the outdoor games. And it's always friggin' Chicago. Always. Yeah.
Yep. They're just going to knock down our whole arena and just let them play outside the whole year.
And then the Bulls will have nowhere to play. And won't that be sad? It's a great article. We will definitely link to that in the show notes.
We will definitely put that in the show notes because it was a riot. All right. This has been an extra long beginner's puck.
Well, you know, it's playoff madness. You kind of have to.
It is playoff madness. There was a lot going on with that. And I think, you know, from here on out, it's going to be like, woo, did you see that? Mm-hmm. So this has been your bonus-sized beginner's puck episode to kick off the playoff season. So best of luck if your team is in the game, and if not, I think you should take Jeff Marek's advice and just watch hockey for the love of the game.
Totally.
Like, if your team gets knocked out, just, you know, don't let it go. Just mm-hmm. cheer the other teams on, because all hockey is beautiful.
It is. And speaking of things that are beautiful and things that make you love the game, I'm going to close out with one of the hockey tidbits that is closest to my heart as a nerdy,
I love the hockey tidbits.
Nerdy hockey fan. And this is one that I started noticing because my spouse pointed it out to me. It's something that he likes as well. And I was so on board with it. And that is one of the nerdiest things I could possibly think of to talk about. And that is the tension of the mesh on the nets in hockey. Yes. You know, when players score and they have that wonderful, like, you know, strong slap shot, and then the puck hits the back of the net, and they get that shot from the side on the camera where you can see the net just billowing outward in slow motion. That is one of the most beautiful sights in all of hockey, as far as I'm concerned. And
especially in slow-mo.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it's nice fast, but slow-mo is just gorgeous. And different rinks actually have different tension on their nets. And I sometimes find myself judging teams if their net tension is too tight. Yeah. Whereas I think actually Philadelphia, in addition to having great uniforms, as we talked about last time, Philadelphia has some of the best nets in the entire league. It is loose. It billows very nicely. When it's tight, it's kind of like a trampoline. Sometimes the puck will go in the net, hit the net, and bounce out, and you can't even tell if it was in the net or not, which is just...
Yeah, that's no fun. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, it's defeating the purpose. Now... As the playoffs are starting, actually, as we are recording this, and I haven't watched anything yet, so there's a little bit of me that is concerned that perhaps some of the teams may have put new nets out for the playoffs, which to me would be a bad thing, because as you watch hockey throughout the regular season, the nets get looser and looser because there are pucks being hit into them over and over and over again, unless you're, you know, doing really well and nobody's scoring on you. But it's
Avalanche's nets are like,
they're
tight.
Bing. Well, except that, you know, you change sides every period, so somebody was scoring on the Avalanche's nets. It just wasn't the Avs. Oh, poor Avalanche. But yeah, so I have watched the nets get looser and looser throughout the season and have really enjoyed it. So I'm hoping that we still have the same delicious nets, because the Oilers' nets were looking pretty good by the end of the year. So here's fingers crossed for the game that I will be watching shortly. I will be paying close attention to those nets. I hope you will join me.
Absolutely. So yes, be like Philadelphia, be loose. Loose and easy with your net. Oh, this is fun. Well, guys, again, if you have any questions for us, please leave us a comment, send us a tweet. Let us know who you're rooting for if your team did not make it. Mm-hmm. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review on iTunes. And every time you do, a hockey player gets a goal. That is a true fact.
Yes.
I know that is a fact.
Yeah, so. As a matter of fact, a hockey player from a team that you love will get a goal. So leave those reviews.
That's right. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Depending on your team, it might have to wait until next season, but it'll happen.
Absolutely.
And you've been listening to Beginner's Puck. Remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castrier production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at Beginner's Puck, email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com, or leave a comment at theincomparable.com/puck.